Coming up on today's Locked On Dodgers, the Dodgers lose to the Giants. We get into Dino Ebel and a rash of mistakes he's had recently. Talk about Austin Barnes and his hot streak, Cody Bellinger and what the Dodgers are going to do with him, and talk about Andrew Heaney and what the Dodgers are going to do with him. So that's what's on tap, so make sure to keep it Locked On Dodgers.
You are Locked On Dodgers, your daily Los Angeles Dodgers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Yo, 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 Dodger fans, welcome to Locked On Dodgers. We are part of the Locked On Podcast Network, the number one local sports daily podcast network. Locked On, your team every day. This is Locked On Dodgers, and you can find us wherever you find podcasts and on YouTube simply by searching for Locked On Dodgers. And you can subscribe in all those places and make it easy on yourself and never miss a day because you know we're not going to. This is your first time listening or watching. I'm Vince Amperio. That's my co-host, Jeff Snyder. And both of us are usually here. We're both lifelong Dodger fans that have spent time covering the team, continue to cover the team, and run this here podcast here every Monday through Friday. We're not quite insiders, but we bring the smart fans perspective on our boys in blue every weekday morning. And today we're here to bring you some of that smart fans perspective. Even after a loss, we're still here talking about the Dodgers. The Dodgers had beat the Giants 8 straight. They did not make it 9. Andrew Heaney had a rough night, giving up a bunch of home runs and 6 runs. That ultimately ended up being all the runs the Giants needed. The Dodgers had a couple times where they could have got back into the game or gotten really close to it. One of those reasons that didn't happen was Dino Ebel, who we'll talk about in a little bit. But let's start with Andrew Heaney, who gave up 4 home runs, gave up 6 runs. And you know, despite the 8 strikeouts, now he's given up, I think, 8 or 9 home runs in his last 4 or 5 starts, whatever it is, and has continued to rack up strikeouts, but has also started giving up the long ball. And it's a matter for the Dodgers. You know, he's still being effective every 5th day, which is good enough for the regular season. But it's harder and harder to kind of see Heaney pitching in October, assuming Gonsolin comes back healthy and everyone else remains healthy.
Yeah, it's 10 home runs in his last 4 starts. And it's, it's frustrating. You know, we're starting to feel a little bit of what Yankee fans feel when they hear Andrew Heaney's name. This is who he's been in the past. And he only led 1 home run through his first 7 starts this year. And I was hopeful that he had, I didn't necessarily think he was going to keep his home run rate that low, but I thought, well, maybe he's gotten a handle on it a little bit. And, you know, I guess it's possible that these last 4 games are just a blip, but when you have a guy who throughout his career has given up a lot of home runs and then he's giving up a lot of home runs again, it seems more likely that the not giving up a lot of home runs for 7 starts was the blip. And this is closer to who he actually is. Obviously, this was the worst of the starts. You know, there's a difference between allowing 6 home runs in his last 3 starts combined versus allowing 4 tonight. That's, twice as many per game. And, yeah, you're not going to win any games when you give up 4 home runs. The Giants hit 5 home runs tonight. Coming into tonight, teams in Major League Baseball this year were 40-4 when they hit at least 5 home runs. And now it's 41-4. And giving up 5 home runs is not a recipe for success. And they, you know, Andrew Heaney probably has 4-ish starts left, 4 or 5, and he's going to have to figure this out. If he wants to be pitching in October, he's going to have to figure out his long ball issues because the current version that we saw on Monday night is not a version of Andrew Heaney that the Dodgers can afford to send out in a postseason game.
Yeah, and he talked about it in the post game, and it was just a matter of throwing too many balls over the plate, as he mentioned. And that was the case. And with Heaney, I don't know if it's because of the way his delivery is or just, I don't know. It seems like he's just kind of up there throwing and he's had the success so far. So it doesn't look like he's like trying to place the ball. Now, you know, that's obviously he is trying to place the ball and put it where he wants and wherever Barnes or Will Smith is calling it. But it does, you know, you do get a sense if he's just kind of up there throwing, doesn't necessarily always know where the ball is going. He got lucky with some swings on balls way above the zone against the Giants last night. So, you know, maybe it's a matter of them trying to catch that fastball when they read fastball. You know, I don't know. I wouldn't want to throw out there that there was any you know, maybe tipping pitches or anything because he still had the 8 strikeouts. But it did seem anytime a fastball was misplaced, the Giants took care of it. And you would imagine that most good teams, especially once they get deeper and into October, would be able to handle that as well. So, yeah, he's not currently one of the best 4 starters. I don't know if you want to take a guy with that much volatility in terms of allowing home runs recently into October as a reliever. So it's a matter of trying to fix that, trying to work on the command. You know, he's not really walking guys. He's just missing in the zone. And you can miss or you can throw, you know, fastballs in the zone, but not down the middle. And that's kind of where he needs to learn now. Everything else looks good. And like you said, he has a few starts to kind of rectify that and see if he can become a factor into October. But the fact of the matter is the way he's going now, not going to be the case, but if he can just figure out how to move that fastball away from Barrows, that'll help out a lot.
Yeah. And I mean, one potential bright side is assuming Gonsolin's healthy, the Dodgers were going to have too many starting pitchers for the postseason anyway. And he was probably the likely odd man out anyway, if for no other reason than with his injury history this year, he's the one who's least able to, or one of the ones who's least able to actually go deep in a game for you. And so, and when you look at most pitchers have a times through the order penalty, meaning that they get worse each time a batter sees them in a game. Yeah, almost every pitcher is worse the second time a batter sees them, and then even worse the third time. And then if they get to a fourth time, even worse. Heaney is definitely one of those. And he's actually pretty darn good against guys the first time through the order. He's only allowed 2 of his 11 home runs this year have come on the first time a batter saw him. And the rest of them have come, you know, all 4 tonight, I think, were the second time through the order. I'm trying to remember.
Maybe Brinson one of them first time through.
Brinson let off. So it was. So yeah, his the first homer he gave up was the first time through the first batter, the second time through the order. I can't remember if, it was VR the fourth one. Anyway, I think so. Yeah, I think all 4 were the second time through the order, maybe the third time one of them, and so that might bode well for a shift to the bullpen for him. You know, stuff might play up a little bit. And if that deception, he's got that kind of weird delivery. And so if he has a little bit more deception, he might be a guy who could be successful out of the bullpen in the postseason, even going, you know, 2 innings or 3 innings, if they're effective innings. You know, basically don't let him face anybody twice, but let him face 9 hitters in a postseason game. There could be value in that. And that might be the role. It was probably the role he was slated for anyway, if Gonsolin's healthy. And maybe we can soothe our feelings and tell ourselves that he might actually be effective in that role.
Yeah, that's very possible. And it could be something, you know, maybe not see here in the next 2 weeks, but maybe the last 2 weeks of the season, something they try to do, bring him out of the bullpen and kind of see what he can do there. But regardless, we'll see what happens. And that's always kind of the case here. And ultimately, health and everything else will decide even more so. So it's really kind of out of our hands. And into the hands of, I don't know, the baseball gods, I would imagine. So we'll talk about Dino Ebel and kind of conversation of, has he been bad all year? Has he been bad recently? Is he not that bad? Is it just a matter of a few times here and there? We'll get into all that. First, let's talk about Built Bar, because if you haven't tried Built Bar Puffs yet, you're depriving yourself of one of life's greatest joys. And guess what? There's a new flavor. Indulgent, delicious cookie dough. It's covered in chocolate. That's right. Built has done it again. Cookie dough chunk puffs have a light and chewy texture. Real cookie dough chunks, and of course, they're covered in 100% real chocolate. All the joys of eating cookie dough without the hassle of making it. Plus, it's healthy for you at only 160 calories and a whopping 15 grams of protein. Don't wait. Run to Built.com now and snag a box for you and the family. It's the perfect treat, dessert, snack, workout, post-workout, even pre-workout, depending how you handle your things, whatever you're looking to get out of it. Built Bars got you covered. Cookie dough chunk puff has you covered. And they're all covered in chocolate made with collagen protein, which your body absorbs more efficiently with tons of health benefits. So go to built.com right now, use the promo code LOCKEDON15 and get 15% off your order. That's promo code LOCKEDON15 at built.com for 15% off. All right, Jeff, we're back, and when the Dodgers went down big, they had a chance to get back into the game. Austin Barnes led off with the single. Mookie Betts hits a double to left field. It looks like a standard double, especially with the run in front of him. It didn't look like Austin Barnes. It looked like Austin Barnes was going to be held up at third. Dodgers would have second and third for Trey Turner and Freddie Freeman. You know, Ebo ends up sending Austin Barnes, and he was thrown out by probably about 40 feet. And it didn't even take that great of a relay. Just took a normal relay for them to throw him out. This comes on the heels of Dino Ebel losing track a little bit of Trace Thompson the other night. That one's a little bit tougher, but, you know, losing track of him, getting a couple other guys thrown out, holding a couple other guys in situations where they maybe could have ran them, and, you know, got us thinking about Dino Ebel. We've enjoyed him as a third base coach for the most part. We've, you know, enjoyed him as a person. And now it's kind of looking like, you know, I don't know if it's a case of the yips, a case of bad luck, if it's just a couple of mistakes made here in a 2-week stretch where we really notice it more. I put out on Twitter that Dino's been struggling lately, and then I got a few responses saying it's been all year. I don't remember it being all year, but Jeff, you have a better memory than me, so, and I'm sure you have some stats, and I'm ready to hear about it.
Yeah, I think we may have to add third base coach to the – you know, I like to joke that every baseball fan believes that his team has the worst manager, the worst bullpen, and the worst performance with runners in scoring position. And we may have to add third base coach to that because, no, Dino Ebel hasn't been bad all year. It's hard to define what makes a bad third base coach because the fact is, if you're not occasionally getting thrown out at home, you're probably leaving runs on the board, not being aggressive enough. And so if you look at the numbers, the Dodgers, this was the 15th time that they've been thrown out at home this year, which ties them for 8th most in baseball. The Rays and Royals have both been thrown out 20 times at home. Dodgers 15. You look at the other teams up here, you know, the Rays are a pretty solid team. Royals are bad. Nationals are bad. Cubs are bad. White Sox are solid. Orioles are surprisingly good. Tigers are bad. But then the teams right around the Dodgers, the other two teams tied with the Dodgers at 15 are the Cardinals and Braves, who are playoff teams. You know, the league average is 13. So the Dodgers are just barely above league average. If you look at the bottom of the list, you've got some, the Mariners have the fewest. The Blue Jays have the second fewest. They're both having good seasons. Diamondbacks are having a surprisingly solid season. Then you got the Yankees, but then you got the Giants, Marlins, you know, so there's really no correlation between how much you get thrown at home and how good a team you are. And if you look at the rate of or the number of guys who have scored from first on a double, the Dodgers are number one in baseball in that. 46 times this year, they've had a guy score from first on a double. Second most is 42 with the Padres, all the way down to the Marlins with only 15. And if you look at scoring from second on a single, the Dodgers are top 10-ish in that also 87 times. League average is 80. And so they are scoring a lot of runs in these situations, taking that extra base, which means Dino Ebel is being successful. And yeah, you know, when you have a couple lumped together like this, the Trace Thompson one, honestly, I don't think that's on Dino Ebel. You know, Dino is – he has to wave Lux aggressively and – that's probably on Trace for not realizing who was being waived. And maybe Dino Ebel, I guess that's not even something you can really learn from. Okay, next time I'll make sure, because that play happens once every 18 years, you know? Next time that happens, Dino Ebel is going to be retired. And so he doesn't need to learn from that. And there have been some where he's gotten guys thrown out at home. This one on Monday night, it was bad. There was no reason to send Barnes in that situation. Barnes was thrown out by 15 feet. Yeah, it was a great relay throw by Brandon Crawford, but Dino Ebel knows that Brandon Crawford is a good shortstop with a good arm. And so with nobody out and Trey Turner and Freddie Freeman coming up, there was no reason to send Barnes in that situation. So that was a bad call. I'm not trying to say that that wasn't a bad call. There was. And I'm sure there have been other bad calls this year, but I think overall, on balance, I think Ebel's been pretty good this year, and the numbers back it up that the Dodgers, it's kind of like, well, imagine how many runs they would score if they didn't have the worst third base coach in baseball. You know, like, well, maybe they just don't have the worst third base coach in baseball, and that's part of why they score a bunch of runs.
Yeah, and with him, like I said, it recent, and I think the ones that are recent, you know, not counting the Trace one, right, or not even counting holding guys up, is just situational. This one was nobody out, would have had second and third for Trey and Freddie Freeman. There was a one a few weeks ago, I think, with one out or no outs, and he sent someone, I forget who, and we talked about it on the next episode as well. And yeah, when you put them together, you know, I think it is, but I think people are making it more than what it is in terms of a whole season. I personally, someone who watches almost pretty much every Dodger game, I personally don't ever remember saying, oh man, Dino, that was a bad send, up until recently, in like the last 6 weeks or so, whenever that first one was that I tweeted about. So if I'm not noticing it and other people are noticing, if you have examples and, you know, you want to make the case that Dino has been bad all year, we'd more than welcome it. But for the most part, I don't remember, you know, being too upset the early part of the season. It's just been recently. And for Dino, you know, it's a matter of maybe he's trying to, you know, maybe there might be the Dodgers, we've talked about working for October, and, you know, realistically, they're not going to play the Giants in October. So there's not really a let me try this out type of thing. But it's also a matter of, you know, maybe Dino wants to test out some luck. I don't know. But whatever it is, I don't expect it to be too much longer. I feel like he'll get it figured out and the Dodgers will be fine.
Yeah, and, you know, like the shift, when people complain about the shift, oh, see, there's a play when if they weren't in a shift, that would have been an out. Instead, it cost them a run. And people never look at the flip side cases. Well, how many outs did they gain? You know, and we have stats saying that the Dodgers are actually the best team in baseball at, you know, utilizing the shift. And it's very much a net positive for them. I think it's the same thing here. You know, one of the plays recently that just popped in my head with Dino Ebel was against the Brewers when Christian Yelich threw out somebody at the plate. And the fact is, Yelich made literally the best throw of his career. The hardest track throw he's ever made. It was right on line, and it was a bang bang play. You know, and so that's a really good example.
And it came a day after he made one of the worst throws.
Yeah, exactly. You know, yeah. And so that's a really good example of how not every guy getting thrown out at home is a bad call by Ebel. In fact, I will go on record as saying I want Ebel sending the guy 100 times out of 100 in that situation, because 97 times out of 100, you're going to score there. And the fact that we happen to see the one, you know, one of the three doesn't change the fact that, you know, if you don't send him there, you know, you figure out of those 97 that don't score when you don't send them, probably 40 of them are going to end up stranded on third. And so you've just taking 40 runs off the board because you're afraid of losing one of the three runs, you know, and obviously those are made up numbers, but that's kind of the concept there, that you have to be aggressive, because this, when it's a guy like Christian Yelich, you force him to make the play. And that's why I didn't like this call on Monday, because Brandon Crawford's not a guy you challenge to say, I'm going to force you to make the play. If there's two outs, maybe, but with nobody out there, you don't challenge Brandon Crawford there with nobody out and the heart of the order coming up.
Yeah, Giants as a whole this season defensively, yes, challenge Brandon Crawford specifically in that situation with nobody out and 2-3 coming up, don't challenge. So
yeah,
I'm sure he knows that now, and I'm sure, you know, he immediately acknowledged it. And like I said, if as long as the next time that happens, we see him either get a hold, then you know, it all will be good.
It also felt like it took Barnes an hour and a half to get from third to home on that play.
Yeah, it didn't feel like it was going to be that far of an out. And then it was like, oh, wow, that was.
Yeah, you watch different cameras. Oh, man, this is going to be close. Oh, no, he might get thrown out. And then it's like, oh, he's out by 15 feet. Holy crap.
Yeah. All right. Speaking of Austin Barnes, he's been on a hot streak. So we're going to get into that and then get a little bit more into Cody Bellinger. Jeff touched on it in yesterday's episode, but we have a few comments on today's episode that speak to Cody Bellinger and staying in the lineup. Real quick, want to thank you and remind you to make Lockdown Dodgers your first listen of the day every day, and subscribe on YouTube or wherever you get podcasts or both, and make it easy on yourself and never miss a day. All right, Jeff, we're back. And let's start with Cody Bellinger, so you can end on a positive in Austin Barnes. Cody Bellinger, you talked about it yesterday. You talked about Jerry Harrison talking about his swing, talking about how he struggled. And he's back in the lineup. He was in the lineup last night and didn't get a hit, only struck out once. You know, those are the positives we have to look for at this point. And they talked to Dave Roberts about keeping him in the lineup. And as of this point, as of now, Cody Bellinger will continue to be in the lineup. In the article, it says, for now, the plan with Bellinger seems to involve using his play discipline to, quote, move the chains, turn the lineup over with the quality at bat while he figures out how to catch up to fastballs that have looted his bat most of the season, which means he's going to bat ninth for the most part. You know, Roberts is kind of trying to find the silver lining, and he asked him. We know he's a player's manager, and you know, he mentioned the other day after Bellinger walked three times on Sunday, he said earning three walks is great. I think the next layer is when you get pitches in the zone, you've got to finish the at-bat. That's something we're going to keep working on because he did get some pitches he should hit. He went on to add that you see a ball and you're expecting Bellinger to square it up. Could be a mechanical thing, could be a mind thing, could be a body thing. It's a combination of things. And when you hear this off the bat, you know, some of you might interpret it differently, but yeah, it's one of those where, you know, Dave Roberts is saying, okay, the play discipline's there. Now we need to see him hit. Then he said, you know, there's balls that he should have hit or there's balls that are in the zone that you expect him to hit and he doesn't hit it. And it's a matter of maybe now they're realizing he might not be able to hit it. And this is where he's going to get this last month to kind of show. And I honestly do think it's a matter of they're trying to hope whatever he did last year, the adjustment he made or whatever change he made is going to happen this year. And they know that, you know, Trace Thompson or, you know, even Joey Gallo, Chris Taylor, all those guys could sufficiently play center. Maybe not Gallo so much as what we've seen so far, but, you know, Chris Taylor, Trace Thompson can play there. Even at their worst, they're better than what Bellinger's been at the plate for the most part. Obviously, Trace Thompson's been in the minors, so maybe not his worst, but at least his worst so far this season. So it's a matter for Bellinger of here it is. Here's your month. And put up, or you are in danger of not being on the roster or in the starting lineup come October.
Yeah, and I think it makes sense to give him every chance to get right. You know, we talked about on yesterday's episode about Jerry Hairston's critique of him, but basically Hairston believes that Bellinger needs to go back to the stance that he used in the 2021 postseason. You know, there's been rumblings that Bellinger says that isn't comfortable with him, and Hairston says, well, do it more and you'll get more comfortable with it. I really don't know if it's as easy as a swing change. I don't know. The thing that really jumped out at me when I was reading that article, you're just reading the quotes from Dave Roberts from, is, you know, it all came after Bellinger walked three times in the game on Sunday. That was Bellinger's first three-walk game of the season, only his third multi-walk game of the season, and the first one since the middle of May. And so what I haven't been able to figure out yet is, did those three walks happen because Cody Bellinger changed his approach and was trying to be more selective and use his eye to get on base, knowing I'm batting ninth, Mookie's behind me. If I can get on base, that helps the team. And, you know, one argument in favor of that would be that his one strikeout on Monday night was he struck out looking on a borderline pitch. And so, in fact, I think the last two strikes he took, one was right on the inside corner and the other was right at the bottom of the zone. And so maybe he was hunting that walk, and, you know, hunting the walk has been used negatively as a phrase about Max Muncy when he wasn't being aggressive enough. But Bellinger right now, you know, if he's batting ninth with Mookie behind him, hunting the walk isn't the worst idea. You know, in that situation, it was second and third and two outs. And yeah, it wouldn't have been a terrible idea to get Mookie up there with bases loaded and two outs. Obviously the ideal would have been for Cody to just rip a two-run single, or, you know, even a three-run homer, but, you know, we'll take a two-run single there. And instead he struck out looking. And I don't know. I don't love the idea of him going up there looking for walks if the goal is to get him right. I'm definitely in favor of him not swinging at pitches out of the zone. And maybe there's a balance there that you have to find. Maybe you're going to have to take some pitches on the edges of the zone in order to kind of hone that in. But I do think Bellinger, you know, early in the season when he was actually having success, one of the things he was doing well was he just wasn't swinging at the high fastball that he can't hit. And yeah, in a perfect world, he'd just be able to hit it. But if you can't hit it, at least don't swing at it, because half the time it's going to be up and out of the zone. And so just take that pitch. And so maybe it's all part of the equation coming together to for Bellinger to get right. Obviously, if there is a mechanical thing that needs to be changed, hopefully they'll make that change. But yeah, I just have no idea what to expect from Bellinger, because he can still catch lightning in a bottle. He's still got a ton of power, so he can still occasionally hit a big home run for you, like he did against the Giants, you know, last month or whenever it was, that grand slam off Sammy Long. You know, he can do that for you once in a while. But right now he's not a guy who anybody would feel confident saying, oh yeah, I feel like Billy's going to come through for us in a big moment.
Yeah. And last part, being batting ninth, in theory, you should get more pitches to hit because they don't want to walk you in order to get to the top of the Dodgers order. So we'll see what happens. It's another world where we'll see what happens. But at the very least, you know, I would say I don't think Cody Bellinger will be the everyday center fielder in October if he continues the way he's been going. I do think we'd see Trace Thompson or Chris Taylor out there in probably most situations if that was the case. So we'll see. And we'll move on to Austin Barnes, who hit a home run last night, is now hitting .435 over his last seven games, 3 homers, 8 RBI in his last 23 at-bats. And yeah, it seems like Barnes almost every year has a little bit of a hot streak, and that hot streak usually comes with some power. But at least at this point, it's coming at a decent time for the Dodgers, especially with the DH being every day. We saw how it worked out in 2020 when the Dodgers were able to use Will Smith at DH and Barnes behind the plate. Now, realistically, the Dodgers, you know, aren't trying to use Will Smith at DH all the time, especially, you know, knowing they need a spot for Max Muncy when Gavin, you know, assuming Gavin Lux is healthy. So they're not necessarily a role for him, but it's just nice to see Austin Barnes hit pretty well. And then Jack Harris from the LA Times mentioned that this Barnes hot streak, not all after when Davis A crashed and David Barnes said that the home run and the rally was for Davis A, but he does have those 3 home runs and 8 RBI since that day with an OPS over 1,000. So, yeah, whether it's just a quick hot streak now or whether it's Austin Barnes being a capable hitter, you know, Austin Barnes being a capable hitter, it makes the Dodgers a better team, and that's something that you can only strive for.
Yeah, absolutely. His hot streak definitely started maybe it didn't. I don't know. His OPS was down to .603 the day before. You know, if you go back his last 13 games, he's batting .333 in his last 13 games with an OPS right around a 900. But he also had a rough patch in there where he went 1-for-8 over 2 games. That dropped his OPS down to .603. And since then, you know, yeah, you've got from the day that Vasse got hurt, Barnsey is batting over 400 and has an OPS, you know, well over 1,200. And, you know, that's a much smaller sample. So I actually prefer the sample of over his last, whatever, 13 games or whatever I said, just because that kind of suggests a little bit more that, oh, maybe it actually is a real, you know, improvement. Because, yeah, unfortunately, Will Smith has to sit sometimes. I went a little over a month ago, I went up to Salt Lake and I watched Dustin May pitch in his rehab start for the Oklahoma City Dodgers in Salt Lake. And I was struck watching Hunter Verducha, one of the catchers at Oklahoma City, who was catching that day. And basically, like, his whole life that day is consumed by Dustin May. You know, my job today is to help Dustin May have the best rehab start he can have. Obviously, it's not quite the same when it's not a big leaguer rehabbing in the minor leagues. But even, you know, in the major leagues, a catcher's number one priority is catch a good game, help your pitcher have a good game. Offense is always a second thought, an afterthought. And that's why it's so impressive how good Will Smith is offensively. But I was really struck that day up in Salt Lake and realizing, oh, yeah, it is important that Will Smith has some of these days where whether it's a full day off or just being a DH for a day and not a catcher, you know, that's useful for anybody. You know, Justin Turner has obviously benefited a lot for this year from getting days off his feet and getting to, to take a day off as a DH. But I think especially for a catcher to be able to say, okay, all I have to think about today is my 4 or 5 at bats. I don't have to think about calling pitches. I don't have to think about my pitcher. I'm just a hitter today. I think there's a lot of value in that. And if Austin Barnes can be at least a passable hitter, it'll make us feel a lot better every once in a while in the postseason when, okay, Will Smith needs a day off, Austin Barnes needs to catch. And if Austin Barnes could actually hit this well and actually be a good hitter, maybe you go with, you know, Will Smith catches two games, then Barnes catches one. You know, let Barnes catch one out of every three if he's actually hitting. If he turns into a pumpkin, you can't do that many. But there's definitely value in having a backup catcher who can hit now that we have the universal DH.
Yeah. All right, Jeff, that's all we had on tap. Anything else you want to add?
No, it always sucks to do a podcast after a loss, but it's always fun to talk about the Dodgers. I thought about, just as a joke, texting you and asking you if you could do this one solo, because you do seem to end up doing solo episodes quite a bit after a loss. But I'm here for you, even though I'm tired, you know. And the good news is we get Tyler Anderson against the Giants bullpen game on Tuesday. And if the Dodgers can win that game, the Giants will be officially eliminated from National League West contention. And that's always a fun day when the Giants get eliminated.
Yeah, that's sweet. And then Clayton Kershaw, and I'm going to have to do the research because he's pitching another day game, and I swear he gets the most day games of any of the Dodgers pitchers. So we'll have that maybe for tomorrow's episode. I'll look it up. But yeah, that's going to do it for today's episode. Also, Jeff, we need to talk about the bananas, because I know I say that you don't like fun and then slandering the bananas a little bit. So we'll
have to get into that. It's fun. It's just not real baseball. That's all I'm saying.
You said not as fun as the Globetrotters. I've been to the Globetrotters. I've seen the bananas.
You think the bananas are more fun than the Globetrotters?
Yeah, I heard. I didn't go, but when I had someone that just went to Savannah, and he's been to a lot of sporting events, and he said that was probably the most fun he's ever had.
Hey, when the Savannah bananas are on Scooby-Doo, come talk to me then.
All right, that'll do it for today's episode. Thank you all for listening. Thank you for making Lockdown Dodgers your first listen of the day every day. Check out the Ultimate Pro Football Preview 2022. It's an 8-episode extravaganza getting you ready for the NFL season. The local team experts of the Lockdown Podcast Network and a betting angle from Lee Sterling of Lockdown Bets all combined into one Ultimate NFL Preview. Search for Ultimate Pro Football Preview 2022 on your Odyssey app, YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts. Search for Lockdown Dodgers on your Odyssey app, YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts as well. Or you can find us on social media, Twitter and Instagram at Lockdown Dodgers. Jeff is on Twitter at Snydog. I'm at Vince Samperio. If you want to call and leave us a voicemail or send us a text, you can do so at 323-863-5625. Or you can always get a hold of us via email, lockdowndodgers@gmail.com. We're here every weekday morning, and we hope you'll be with us. When you get in your car, if you're at home, text my device, play podcast, Lockdown Dodgers. And remember, you don't have to agree. You just have to listen. Have a good one.
We'll talk to you tomorrow.